Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by P4P Muscle Productions and Entertainment, the number one drug-free athlete sponsorship foundation in the world. Following under the teachings, don't trust me, trust my hustle. The ringleader of this show and conductor of this machine is Kaylin Lend Me Your Ear Patterson. Sit back, relax, and turn up your volume to P4P Real Talk.
Hey, everybody out there, will you lend me your ear? I'm being at the island pool today because all this rain we're getting in the Midwest, it's raining like cats and dogs. But that won't dampen our day on this show. It won't dampen our day in the gym, and that won't dampen our day in life. So without any more, I just got to get to this one because I'm super excited. We have Brenda Ray. She's just one of the nicest people. I mean, you hear it, and I don't want it to sound cliche, but the people that, you know, that deals with the fitness community, the fitness family, there's so many of us that are just so driven to be something more than what we were when we started, that it does emanate and it does transcend their bodies, and it reaches out and it grabs other people. And she has that persona, and she does have that passion that can just bring you into better. And I can't even explain it better than that. I mean, I don't know if it's from talking with Pro Yo yesterday, how we just got so spiritual for a minute and just like transcended just everything that was going on. But Brenda Ray does that, and she can do it whether she's competing. She can do that whether she's promoting. She can do that whether she's dealing with seminars or just whatever. It seems to just always get out there and get to you where you can actually connect and understand. So without further ado, Brenda Ray. Brenda, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be a part of the show. So I appreciate your time.
Okay. Now, Brenda, this is Real Talk, and, you know, the last thing that we want to do is have a script or some kind of bunch of cliches or a whole bunch of happy, flowery stuff. So tell people about you, you know, what got you started in the fitness community, what got you to want to step on stage, you know, because a lot of times it's not hand in hand, you know, where you say, I'm going to work out and I'm going to compete. It's usually some kind of in between. And people's lives. Some people can do it straight out. Others, you know, take some time. So just introduce yourself to the P4P world, and not just P4P, but the natural community.
Perfect. Well, a lot of people know my story, so I'll be brief with the beginning of it. But literally, my journey started when I was 7, and I just didn't really listen to that so much. You know, everybody has that instinctive drive where you're pushed and you're also pulled by certain things in life, and fitness was that thing. And for me, when I was 7, I was watching a workout show on TV, and, you know, parents walked in the room on a Saturday morning instead of cartoons. Here I am, 7, watching the show, and I was asked what I was doing, and I said, I'm watching the show. I was asked why, and I said, because I'm going to do that someday. And then one thing led to another, and all sorts of things happened through time. It's actually listed on my website, too, in my bio on there, and it took me until I was 28 to actually join a gym. Funny, but true. And so when I did that, I completely transformed my body. I was coming out of a degree in journalism and left college the first time around with a body that definitely wasn't what I wanted. And it wasn't going in a good direction. So joined the gym, tried to get myself fit, started sprinting again, did the Battery State Games a few times to try to beat my old sprinting records from high school, which I was able to do in my mid-20s. And then it was like, now what do I do? So as I did that, I transformed my body. I have a gym acquaintance at the time who became a really great friend, and he asked me 3 times repeatedly over the course of about 3 years to compete, and I kept saying no because, honestly, my first answer, it makes me laugh now, and I tell people in my workshops all the time, I said I don't want to look like a man because I didn't know there were natural federations out there. So the only thing I knew about was, you know, the stuff that maybe didn't look the way I wanted to look. And he said, no, there's these natural federations. And so I competed with him. We did mixed pairs. I did the novice class in my first show. And that was it. I stepped on another stage 2 weeks later, and I never stopped. So in a nutshell, that's kind of how I got to the competition stage. Fitness has been a love of mine and in my blood, really, since I was 7. It's the first time I really noticed it. But I've always been attracted to fit bodies and, you know, muscular bodies. And now, of course, in my business, I serve people that compete, but I also work with wellness clients, you know, transforming their lives and starting with the inside out. You know, our thought process, of course, determines what we look like on the outside. And that's where I'm at, pretty much in a nutshell.
And I'm just so glad that you never lost that passion. And now there's something else that, you know, that's quite unique with you. Well, I don't want to say unique, but just it's something that's always good to know is that I don't know if you're a big fan of history, but you definitely have a history of female competitors, because I was like, you know, you enriched my mind by just, you know, speaking on where I'm basically trying to run to a book and check on it, because JB does the same thing. You know, he's very history drawn with the background of competitors, and this is not a new arena. This is, natural competitions have been going for a long time.
Definitely, yeah. And I mean, I came on the circuit as an amateur in the fall of 2000, and the natural federations had started, you know, well, some of them, you know, the late 80s, but late 90s was pretty popular. So, yeah, I mean, I'm very blessed and very fortunate to say that I've shared a stage with some really great names in the natural bodybuilding world, including Nancy Andrews, you know, one of the heads of the WNBF, Dory Frame, who was absolutely positively my inspiration when I first started. She was the lightweight who would battle it out with Nancy. And getting on stage as an amateur, I mean, I would compete in a class of 8 to 10 lightweights with another 8 to 10 heavyweights. That was normal in an amateur show back in the day. So some people always, you know, ask me, you know, how did you get like this? And that's it. You know, everybody was out for blood and there were a lot of female bodybuilders. So you really need to be on your game and always trying to improve, because as you know, there's amazing athletes out there, just like all of us, who haven't stepped on stage yet. All it takes is that one person to say, hey, let me introduce you to competing. And then here you go. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, great quality competitors coming in. So being on top of it is important. But yeah, it's the history of the sport is pretty amazing. And I don't know, like you said, that a lot of people know how far back it really goes.
Yes. And, you know, I've always joked about, you know, you hear about this Sandow Trophy, and I said, well, he was what people would consider the pioneer of natural bodybuilding, and he was natural. And, you know, mm-hmm. just the fact that you know, it's used on that side instead of the natural arena just kind of baffled me. But, you know, like you said, because there was so much misinformation, I guess we could fall into that realm where it's understandable why it's bodybuilding, so why not that guy for the trophy? But it's like the ones that know better and know the history behind it, it's kind of a question mark.
Right, definitely. I agree. No doubt about that.
Now, you have just, you know, and I think Jeremy Coleman and you have made the statement that really catches your ear, because you say, you know, when people see you on stage, they say, oh, my God. And then they see you in clothes, and they're like, wait a minute. You know, and it's like, well, that should let you know, you know, that when you're talking about transforming your physique, because I think Jeremy Coleman was the first one to tell me, you know, he's like, man, people see me on stage and say I'm almost leaping out on them on stage. And then, you know, they see me in my work attire or in a suit, and they're like, you know, where'd you go? You know, and I think that's what women, when they say, well, they're going to get too big or too muscular. And, you know, I don't even want to say well-intended, more like people that are threatened by a secure woman or a woman that's really set in her mind and body, and it shows in both. And they're kind of threatened, so they say, oh, you'll get too big. And, you know, as long as I've been around natural competitors, I have yet to see that day happen.
Yeah, we had that conversation a few times, actually, over the weekend, last weekend, when my show was happening. And different people, you know, coming to the show that maybe haven't seen me in person, and having that stigma almost attached to training and lifting heavy or pushing yourself. And, you know, my joke, but in seriousness, is always, I've been trying to get big for 18 years and this is it. So please don't be afraid. Pick up heavy things. It's okay. You will not get big.
I love that.
I'm still trying. I just came from the gym and, you know, I don't know that I got that much bigger, but I'm certainly trying. So, you know, the great thing is, it's funny because a lot of females will consult with me, you know, even if it's just, like I said, wellness, or if they're competing or whatever it is. and they'll say, you know, I really like the way your body looks. I really like your legs, right? You know, your glutes or, you know, whatever it is, your arms. And then it's so cute because we'll get to talking about a plan, and then they'll say, well, but I just don't want to get too big. And I'm like, do you think I'm too big? And,
right.
And you know, they'll say, no, my gosh, no. And I'm like, right, so please don't be afraid, because I'll remind them again, 18 years, I live and breathe this. This is my blood, and I'm not big yet. So,
right?
You know, nothing to worry about. And frankly, I love to eat. Anybody that knows me can tell you I love to eat. So I always tell them, too, I mean, you can't even eat enough to make that happen, because I love to eat and I can't even get enough in my body to make that happen. So don't be afraid.
Right. That I agree wholeheartedly. That's just insane. And I just love, oh, wait, before we forget, I just have to say congratulations on your show last weekend. It was just a joy to be up there. One of the things that I just kept hearing repeated over and over again is that she's so on to, you know, taking care of this and making sure we're this and, you know, people directing that. I mean, like I was telling JB, it's with the size of that venue, I should have been lost 5 or 6 times, but there was always someone to guide me to where I needed to be or where you just were, because you were basically being a magician and doing Houdini and different, popping up in different places. So well done on that. I mean, when the competitors are saying such great things as the show is going, because usually as it progresses, you know, diets get a little bit more tender and people are, you know, more crabby. But even if they're that way, they're still saying great things. You know, you're on to something good.
Thank you. It's definitely a passion of mine, and it's not just something that I compete in, but something that when I say that I want to give back, I truly want to give back. And my goal as a promoter, coming from being an athlete in the sport for 15 years and judging for, you know, 11, almost 12, and now promoting for 7, my goal as the promoter, though, is truly to give every athlete in that show a pro-caliber show. And I really want them to get an experience. I don't want them to come and compete. I want them to have an experience, something that they're always going to remember, because the truth is, I think back to my very first show, and if I didn't have an experience, I'm not sure that I would have competed again, because I always remember the second show I did. I didn't have that experience, and it wasn't a very positive environment, so that probably would have turned me off. And so I really want the athletes to know that I do this for them. It's a labor of love for me, and I want to give back some, hopefully, of what I have been able to take from the sport and friends that I've made from the sport that are literally like brothers and sisters to me to this day. And that's the goal. And I love to hear that afterwards. And when they say, you know, I made so many great friends and everybody was so supportive. Many of them reach out to me, thankfully, and share their experience. And I always ask for feedback from every athlete. You know, don't be afraid to tell me the pluses and the minuses, because as a promoter, the only way I can make the show better is to fix things or add things to it that you think might have been missing. And so I always say that jokingly with the reminder of, remember, I'm a bodybuilder. I can take constructive criticism. So they're really good, and they share a lot of things with me. And I just posted on Facebook a few days ago, and I meant that. I put a thank you out there because I was overwhelmed in the first 3 or 4 days after the show with emails, phone calls, Facebook messages from people that competed, the spectators, and it literally brought me to tears. And that's just, to me, that's worth more than anything that I could put out there, is just to know that that many people had a good experience. So always trying to make it better.
And well, you're doing something right, because I know that's got to be always a great feeling where the competitors that have been on stage and basically gotten their awards, or, you know, in the pros part where they're getting the other, you know, because you had some other awards, and also to be in the lobby and see the amount of people that are still out there conversing is just, I mean, that's really something special, because most of the time, you know, families are trying to get somewhere or get out of there. And it's just good to see, you know, this person's from, you know, out of state, and he wants to stick around and talk to this person that's from out of state, and they're meeting up in the lobby and they're not leaving. But then you get to see the people around them soaking all of that in and realizing, man, it's more than, you know, just being on stage. These people actually get along. You know, there's no knock down, drag out on stage. You know, we like, I mean, we've talked about this before. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to do well.
Mm-hmm.
But off the stage and backstage, it's a whole different atmosphere and arena, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with that so much. My clients and I talk about that all the time. And, you know, I would say, you know, even when we do pro shows, we're all standing on the side lining up and it's, hey, ladies, you know, let's go out there and have some fun. Good luck, everyone. And as soon as we walk out there, of course, the battle's on. But right before that, right after that, that's the only time the battle's on. And we're still supportive of each other on stage as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's that camaraderie of the sport. I think it's unmatched in a lot of other sports, of course. And I'm really grateful, you know, for that part of it. Like I said, that I've literally gained brothers and sisters through the sport that will always be close to me, you know, whether we're competing or we're not competing. I think that's something that you can't even put a price tag on that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I remember Alex Ellis and Melissa Fisher were going up in a show, and they were going against each other, and I was still kind of new to the female side of it, and, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, there's everybody, like I said, people want to win. But then I go backstage and setting up for the Midwest Muscle, and I see Alex bikini biting Melissa, and I was like, wait a minute, if you guys are competing against each other, how is that even possible, you know, that you guys would even want to do that? But it's like I said, these were things I had to incorporate in my mind to understand just how deep natural bodybuilding can be in people's lives. Not just, you know, I can't explain. JB said it so well when he said about, if it's only about testing or winning a trophy, then it's not really natural bodybuilding. Natural bodybuilding goes so much further than the show and event. Because like you said, we stay in touch with each other basically year round.
Mhm. Yeah, I agree, and that's something that I definitely try to teach all of my coaching clients that do compete, is to focus on the journey, not the outcome. You know, you really need to be present, be mindful every day that you are prepping to compete. You know, support your brothers and sisters that are doing this and steal with you. But being present for that journey allows the outcome to be perfect. And when I say that, it's people, you know, that unfortunately they'll focus on the outcome, and when that doesn't happen, they're miserable because they were really never fully present in the journey because they were so focused on the ending. And I feel like, you know, when you put your heart and soul into your prep and you're present in that and you're present in the journey, that your outcome, when I say it's perfect, you know, you might take first, that's excellent. You might take third, but if you put your heart and soul into your prep, the outcome is really always perfect. And so when you just said, you know, the camaraderie and the people coming together, I think that's part of that journey. And that's what makes the sport so amazing, is that as long as we remember to be present every day and not get too stressed out about the show date getting closer, because God knows we all do, I still do, and I've been competing for how long, you know, that it's an amazing experience. And when you let go of that stress and that fear and the what if, honestly, a lot of times that does open you up for the win, because you're not focused on the outcome. You're present right now in the journey, making sure that that is your outcome. So it's pretty amazing, you know, when you can share that with like-minded people, no doubt.
I'm just loving every word you just said. I soaked all that in. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You know, it's just a joy. And I mean, it's a true freedom, and just letting go of all that what was and stepping into what is. So I love that what you just said. That was just, and you know, now that you've you know, had the show, it's past, and you can start looking into the future, you know, you still see that why to keep going. Because I noticed that, you know, for you, it's like you said, it's a journey, but it's a journey worth doing because you constantly see the positives in it. So, you know, for the person that's, you know, wanting to compete, like you said, that, you know, if the trophy's the only goal, you missed it. And I tell people that, you know, and they're like, well, no. I said, look, everybody wants to win. But
right.
if you don't see the gym as your Super Bowl, and basically the stage is the Pro Bowl time, you honestly don't, it's like you still got a little bit to work mentally. And, then, you know, people forget that the mind is a muscle as well. And if it's not to incorporate the body into different parts, all you see is, you know, like, I'm not big enough, or I'm not strong enough, or I'm not something enough, as compared to who? You know, you almost want to ask that when they're done. As compared to who? The old you from a year ago? Or, you know, from an injury? What, you know, where are you saying, where does this doubt and fear and remorse and regret, where is it stemming from? Is that from you, or is that from somebody else that you're basically wishing you were?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the sport has great camaraderie, you know, that we just mentioned, but the truth is, it's you against you. So I also try to teach my clients when I coach them, please don't fall into the trap of comparing yourself to everybody else. Yes, of course, you want to look at the top people, you know, in the division that you're competing in and see what they look like and, you know, what can you do to your own training to change your physique, you know, to get closer to that or aspire to that. And but the bottom line is, don't try to be them, because you will never be them. Be the best version of you, because that's what's going to get you where you want to be. And if you don't do that and you're constantly beating yourself up because, you know, your calves are too small or this isn't right or that's not right, and you're always lack focused, you're always going to have more lack. So focus on what you have and then see those other things that maybe aren't exactly where you want them to be as opportunities to sculpt and chisel a better you to bring to the stage, you know. And I think a lot of people lose that in the process, especially people new coming into the sport. And I'm speaking from experience. Believe me, I have been around the block in my own mind with this. And that's why I'm able to take my own experience personally, but coaching hundreds of athletes over time as well now. But bring all that together and just teach people from the beginning. It's, first of all, it starts in your head. So we got to make sure that, you know, your thoughts are present. You're in the right mindset. And what is it that you want to achieve from this? You know, because if you're just saying, I just want to win, that's great. Like you said, we all do. So we can negate that, because there's not one person that gets on stage that says, oh, I hope I don't win today. You know,
right.
So, you know, you really have to, there's a few books that I've read, and I refer my clients to those books all the time. It's pretty amazing when you can get your mind into the game, because once I switched my own mindset and I stopped giving my energy to all these other possibilities that were really only crazy possibilities in my head. And I put it into my own prep and my own training and just said, you know what, I gave 110% for the last, you know, 20 weeks, 24 weeks, 16 weeks, whatever it was I prepped for. That's when the magic started to happen, you know. And of course, yeah, you have to build a body to make it happen, but you really want your mind to be in the right place. I can't stress that enough. I think we really beat ourselves up as humans in general, but in this sport especially, because we are all perfectionists. If we weren't, we wouldn't be doing it. So
it's so true. It's so true. And you know, the thing that's always amazing to me is, like, the body I started with is not the body I have now. And, you know, we talk about the journey. And there's things that my body is doing now as my muscle matures in lifting and, you know, hitting specific target parts. And I know now to hit on them. You know, people, I've been, it's funny when people see me lifting a 30-pound weight and thinking, man, you should be lifting 80. And I'm like, yeah, but would I lift it correctly? You know, it, for what I'm going for, would that really be beneficial to your ego or my improvement? And, you know, it's like we were talking, a couple of years ago, you and I had talked about, you know, the body that was winning then won't be the body winning a year from now, because basically everybody else changed and we stayed the same because we stayed the same program.
Absolutely. I can't agree with that more. And what you just said makes me chuckle, because on occasion, I am very fortunate that I'll, you know, meet my friends in Milwaukee, find they're working for the day, you know, with clients, and sometimes they'll come up, you know, from northern part of Illinois or southern part of Wisconsin or in the Milwaukee area, and we'll train and, you know, we'll chat a little bit when we're done before we all part ways, and that comes up all the time, because, you know, you walk into the gym, and don't get me wrong, there are days when I do lift really heavy, but it's if I'm in that training cycle, yes, but if I'm not, I'm going to lift to develop my muscles. I don't care how much that is. I just want to shape my body. And what you just said makes me chuckle, because that came up and, you know, walking into the gym and then, you know, someone that knows me was like, why are you doing that with 40-pound dumbbells? Don't you usually use 70? And I'm like, yeah, well, today I'm working on building thickness, so I'm going to use 40. And they looked at me like, isn't that backwards? I'm like, no, I get a better contraction like this. Just let me lift. Let me lift.
Exactly. And you know, I'm so thankful. And, you know, I was talking with this about Leaf because there was so much bro science. I'm sure you had to deal with even more than me. Where it was just the lack of knowledge was almost shameful with what was being shared. And granted, they meant well, because I don't think they were, you know, doing people intentionally trying to do people harm. They just saw what someone was doing and thought, well, that works. And they went with it, and somehow or another spread like a cancer. I was like, what, how can that even be logical with some of the things that were, you know, I mean, you could throw out 100 things, and I probably could throw out 100 more. But I'm just so thankful now that people that do know better are actually willing to share it with the same passion that people that are willing to create their own bodies are willing to share their life on stage and, you know, in their different venues and arenas. And I'm sure you've seen it, you know, with the coaching and at the seminars where people are so well-intended. And, I, you know, now for me, I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, I thank God they fell into my lap so they don't have to go through some of the stuff I had to go through when I was initially getting into just being a gym rat in bodybuilding, much less stepping on stage.
I totally agree with you, and I say that all the time. If I can, you know, save one person at least every season, that is amazing, because that one person is going to save, you know, another five people by saying, hey, you know, I don't know if you should do that because, you know, I worked with this coach and this is what we did, and I hope that, you know, we can create that ripple effect and save people from developing metabolic issues and, you know, thyroid problems, things like that, from not doing the correct thing. I every season I have many people come to me towards the end of their prep usually. And then, of course, we go into a postseason once they're, you know, finished with whatever they may have been following, because it'll be, oh, you know, I'm on 900 calories or I'm on 1,200 calories a day and doing 2 hours of cardio. And I'm like, you know, that's not even enough for a 12-year-old child. So I can see why you don't feel good. And all that muscle that you gained in the last year, you just use that for fuel because you don't have anything coming in your body. You know, so, yeah, I love to be able to help educate people and teach them. Honestly, one of the first things I teach in a workshop, when I do the preparing to compete workshop or the competitor camps, things like that, one of the first things I tell them is, okay, guys, contrary to anything you've heard, read, or, you know, seen online, it is not meant to be miserable. You shouldn't be hungry all the time. You shouldn't feel like crap all the time. You're not going to get weaker. In fact, you're going to get stronger if you do this right, and you're going to feel amazing on show day. You know, and my clients that I coach are great examples. Any one of them will tell you how much food they eat. Most all of them will tell you they do little to no cardio at all in their prep, because if you're eating right and you're training hard, there's no need. You know, and they're the ones backstage with a gallon of water and eating buckets of food while everybody else is not drinking and starving. And you know, it's just, it hurts me to see that, because as a professional in the health and wellness industry, first and foremost, you know, teaching people the right way is really important to me. And I don't starve myself skinny. I feed myself fit, and that's what I teach my clients. You know, feed yourself fit. Don't be afraid to eat.
Yeah, I said, I still say, earn it to burn it. I mean, I don't understand how we're going with the philosophy. I said, I can't imagine a football player running out there with no gear because, you know, somebody taught you to do that. Well, take that helmet off, and you'll be lighter. But then you're going to get your head reamed, and you're probably going to be knocked unconscious. But, you know, okay, nobody ever questioned that, so that's the way it went. But now we have the new genre that's coming in, and they know what they're doing, and you see any results. And, you know, I said one of the best compliments we get is actually one of the people think that it's an insult where they say, well, they must be on something. I said, you know, they're on to something. They're on to a better way of life. You know, it's like, okay, you don't understand. So you can't get to that point where the understanding makes sense to you because you've been taught a wrong way for so long. This is what makes sense to you, but it's not right. I mean, you know, at the seminars, I remember where, you know, there's sometimes you'd have to, you would actually like have to do that smirk where it's like, oh, you poor child. But you couldn't say it. But that, you know, you could see that in your eyes. Oh, it always reminded me of the nun coddling the homeless kid that said, you know, I'm going to go sleep in the alley. And they got a lot of newspaper over there. It's like, oh, no, there's a bed, sweetie. There's a bed.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I always, that is one of the things that I count as a big blessing, you know, when I'm able to teach a workshop or a seminar and I'll get someone in there who I've never had contact with, you know, or been able to chat with prior. And some of them, you know, say, well, my friends, you know, are working with this coach and this is what they're doing. And you're telling me to do it this way. And that's when, yes, that's when the smirk will happen. I'm like, yes, because that's how you get to your goal, you know. And I'm really grateful for those people and that opportunity to literally corrupt them in a great way. And I end up working with them and coaching them most of the time. And I'm so thankful, just like you said, that saved them from hurting themselves, because the truth is we compete as naturals for a reason. We're doing this for the long haul. We are doing it to have health for the long term. You know, as females especially, you know, they can send themselves into early menopause. It doesn't matter what your age is. If you're not eating correctly and you're starving your body all the time, again, metabolic damage, thyroid damage, male or female, you know all the great things that can happen if you're not eating enough and you're overtraining yourself. And if I can, like I said, just save at least one person every season from doing that, I feel very good about that, and just count that as a blessing, because hopefully they're going to save another 5 people and it's just going to keep trickling down.
Yeah, the ripple effect, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we need so much of that, because, you know, I said this nation suffers from poor health basically because there wasn't anybody to save them to show them good health.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's very easy. You know how easy it is now in this day and age, sound like my mom, but it's true, to jump online and Google. So you Google bodybuilding prep, bikini prep, figure prep, you know, fit body prep, physique prep, whatever it is. And you pull up the quote unquote bro science way, which is starve yourself skinny instead of feed yourself fit. Do 2 hours of cardio a day and do fasted cardio, no less. And, you know, all these things. And it's heartbreaking to me. And I always try to teach everybody, you know, you can research and you can do what you want to, but just because it worked for one person doesn't mean it works for everyone. Fitness is not a one-size-fits-all. If it was, I would be out of business.
Right.
Because who would need, you know, 10,000 trainers in the United States? We wouldn't. So, you know, just be careful. You know, when you Google, just take it all with a grain of salt. It's just information. It's not the Holy Grail. Use science to make your plan. Don't, you know, don't use fads. Just use science. Science is never, never wrong, really. Human body has worked the same forever. It has not changed.
Yes. And thankfully, you know, like, I'm so blessed that we have the network of sound minds. And, you know, people always ask me, well, what does that mean? I said, well, people that actually live the life. They're not guinea pigging off of your results. This is what works for people. And, you know, the network of sound mind is basically just saying everyone that steps into this mental atmosphere is not on the same plane, but on the same understanding that I don't want to hurt you. I don't want your metabolism wrecked. I don't want to see your thyroid spiking to the point where you're not even recognizable to your own family members. That hurts me. And, you know, to hear it and see it, and you know it's coming. It's like no matter what you tell them, some people are, you know, they love and trust their coaches or people.
Right.
And you just know they put that trust into some wrong hands, and it hurts. And, you know, like I said, you know, you speak with passion, so I know you understand what I'm saying. It's not, it, as much as you see it, it still hurts. And I said 100 times over, it'll still hurt.
Yeah, it's so true. And I mean, just thinking back, you know, to the beginning of time for me in the sport, again, it's 2000, the fall of 2000 was when I stepped on stage as an amateur. And, you know, I didn't know as much then as I do now, of course. And I had actually just, I just started training people. I became a trainer, I should say, like 2 years before I started competing. So then I went back to school and, you know, got more certifications, I should say, in sports nutrition, vegetarian nutrition, things like that. And I didn't start coaching clients until 2004 in prep. So I had already been competing for 4 years myself, but by then I had already accumulated a lot of different certifications, my degrees, of course, and things like that. And then I wanted to use it on myself first. And then I started taking on one or two clients. You know, I needed to make sure that I could give 110% of myself to them. And I really wanted to follow the path. And, you know, so I'm saying that because I think a lot of times people, you know, will unfortunately get on stage one time. And, you know, just because they got on stage doesn't matter where they place. They start, quote unquote, coaching people, and they start giving out the plan that they were given. And obviously, again, fitness is not a one size fits all, especially competing, and they're hurting people and they're charging people for it. And that kills me. I can't handle that. And I've seen so much of that over the last 15 years of competing now. And, you know, when I started coaching people in 2004, my goal again was that, like, I don't want people to have that bad experience. I also didn't want people to do what I did, not knowing. You know, I didn't have a coach, and I did everything myself. So did it work? Oh, for sure. I mean, it got me here, which is great. But of course, I learned a lot along the way. And, you know, it's priceless, but you don't want to see anyone struggle. But my biggest thing is I don't want to see someone get into the hands of another person who has no backing whatsoever to be basically holding someone's life in their hand like that.
And it is that serious. I you know, I think because the mainstream populace never gave credence to the personal trainer or the coach or the person. But I said, you're being handed someone's health and life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that will make that monetary, where it has that value only, solely. And that's frightening to me, because I said, I've seen the person 4 years later and they still have such metabolic damage that they still look bloated. And, you know, it's like they when they talk about the memory that we share from the times of joy, they don't have that, because it's a constant reminder of what I was willing to do and, you know, what it turned out to be afterwards.
Right.
And I'm thinking, I don't think I could ever live with
it. No, I agree. And it's sad because, you know, from a coach's perspective, the other side of that coin also is, so that competitor had obviously a bad experience, for example, in this case, you know, and went to the stage really depleted and with health problems coming out of it. It's unfortunate because that competitor probably will never compete again, number one, for health reasons, number two, for the mental aspect of it. It's too hard on them to put themselves through it again because they had a bad experience. And the sad thing is when you look at their before photo, before they actually got on stage, they looked amazing. And you can see potential. I mean, you know what I'm saying, because I'll walk into gyms and you can ask people. Unfortunately, I say unfortunately, but it's great. I will just literally go up to a pure stranger and say, hey, did you ever think about competing before? Hey, my name is Brenda. This is what I do. You know, and so it's someone like that, that somebody probably got them to compete and they had a bad experience and they're never going to do it again. And you're looking at them going, my gosh, you are a champion competitor. I wish that I would have met you 2 years ago before you did that, you know. It's just sad because many of them then are falling through the cracks and they will never compete again because it was so bad for them.
And because of the lack of ripple effect, they don't touch the lives that they could change. Because, you know, I keep referring back to Steve because he and I talk so much at night. But, you know, it's like, you don't, the people you involve yourself with and help get better, you don't know the outcome. You don't really know where that's going to, but you know you did something right. And with their mindset and their positive attitude, they can create so much more than we even think or, you know, dream.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that. And like you said, you know, with the lack of ripple effect then with that person who maybe had a bad experience and doesn't compete, the sad thing is that they potentially could touch five more lives that come to them and say, hey, I want to compete. And they say, oh, God, don't do it. Let me tell you what happened to me. And it's sad because they had a bad experience, you know, and I say that all the time as a trainer, even, you know, there's big box gyms out there that are basically, you know, just taking money for memberships, but not really providing any training or guidance to their members. And so, you know, when someone comes up to you and say, hey, you look really good, what do you, you know, what do you do? And they say, well, hey, I'm a trainer, you know, let me help you. And they say, well, you know, I hired a trainer at, or I worked with a trainer at my gym and I didn't see any results. Same thing. So they had a bad experience with that trainer and they think all trainers are like that. And that's not true. You just have to find one that can help you, who is, you know, educated, who has the experience and who knows, you know, how to get you to your goal. It's not a one size fits all. You really have to get to know people to help them. And I don't know that a lot of people take the time to do that.
And honestly, in the big box gyms, they don't have the time to do that because it's basically
right.
on to the next sale. And sadly, I've had to deal with that reality. And, you know, it's getting more and more tough. It's almost like they're trying to weed out the good personal trainers because they don't really want to deal with their success. It's like,
yeah,
okay,
you're so right.
Good,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to pay you because I know people are coming to you and not my gym. You know, and
yep.
it's like, well, if it's a
yep.
box gym, it's not really yours to begin with.
Exactly. You're just taking membership money. But, yeah,
yes.
No, I agree. And, you know, it's just, it's unfortunate. You know, if you can get a hold of people before they get that mindset, you know, or that bad experience, it's a blessing for them, of course, and a grateful for yourself or myself, you know, to be able to help those people. And it's just... it's unreal that a lot of gyms actually, like big box gyms, for example, they don't want to have a trainer that's certified. They don't want you to have like national certifications coming in because they want to send you to their quote unquote personal training school in-house so you can
yep.
learn how to sell training, but not learn how
mm-hmm.
to train people. They just want you to sell things, you know, and I don't see
yep.
people as dollar signs. I see people as potential opportunities. I mean, it's, I just don't see that, you know, and I'm very grateful for that, actually, that I'm old school that way, so.
No, that's not old school. That's real talk, and, then, you know, that's the whole point of this show is that, you know, you can speak the truth without having to worry about it being a backlash because, you know, Newman started Fit Body U basically so he can actually deal with people and their improvements, and, you know, I thank
mm-hmm.
God for Five Star Fitness because they said, get the people in shape. You know, I can't imagine coming to work and basically making plastic parts for a metal car and saying, well, I did my job. No, you
mm-hmm.
didn't. You know you're making crap. As soon as they put it in there, it's going to fall apart. And that's
right.
people's lives. And like you're saying, we're talking about people's lives. At the end of the day, they have brothers, sisters, husbands, wives,
mm-hmm.
children, and they can't deal with them. Because we put them in bad shape.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my thing is, I don't care, again, if it's general wellness or, you know, a competitor or an athlete of some kind. If you have a goal, my goal is to get you there. Like, that's all I care about. And, you know, I don't see it as a dollar sign. I don't see it as, oh, I've really got to make that sale. And, you know, there's plenty of people that have come to me for specific things, and maybe that's not my niche. And I know someone who would be amazing to work with them, I will refer them out. I mean, my goal as a fitness professional is to help people get to their goal. And whether that's me or you or somebody else, I'm not too big to say, hey, I can do this part of it for you, but would you mind giving this person a call because they specialize in that area and I don't?
Yes.
You know, so it's, you have to, I always say this about my friends, and I think it's the same in fitness and the services that you offer, right? It's better to have four quarters than 100 pennies. And I would rather give quality service to the things that I specialize in than trying to be a jack of all trades and a master of none, you know, because then I'm hurting people.
Yes.
So, you know, and I, like I said, employ it with my friends, you know, I'd rather have four quarters than 100 pennies there too. It's all the same. Life is like that. It's just about the quality that you give and get.
That's right. That's right. And if you can't give people what you expect from yourself, then you're not really giving them anything because they're seeing how you treat you, but they're not getting the same thing. So it kind of takes away from the value that you're speaking on, and you really don't have
sure.
the foundation that you thought. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I agree.
There's, I remember, and this is just, you know, we've gone on so many topics, but this is one, because I remember the first time you spoke to me about P4P, and I was like, what, what is P4P? And it was some people in your seminar that had spoken about it, and you gave an in-depth conversation about it, and I was still like, wait, what? Because their goal just didn't match up to what I was hearing, so it's almost like you were speaking a foreign language. And I could make out bits and pieces that sounded like English. But honestly, I just wasn't catching the gist of it. And, you know, and the more I was getting around P4P, the more it started making sense because it wasn't a sell. it was more like a sharing. And then, because, you know, unless people really start understanding or start doing their research about it, I think they might miss some of the bigger points of it. So, you know, you just speak on P4P and, you know, what drew you into it? Because I think at the time you were speaking on it, I don't even think you had a product yet, did you?
You know what? When I'm trying to think back to the beginning of all of that, and what happened is P4P, you know, Joe and JB came to me with an idea, and I was, you know, I'm pretty honest about things. I do business coaching too, for small businesses. It doesn't have to necessarily be fitness. And when they came to me with that idea, I was like, okay, you guys, seriously, if you don't do this, you're nuts. You need to get on this idea, because nobody else is doing that, to basically be a broker of services and, you know, help athletes find that kind of stuff. And so they really came to me to sponsor my show, actually, to be the title sponsor of my show last year. And then, you know, we got to talking, and it was like, well, how about we just do sponsorship in general? So, you know, I signed with them because my goal, of course, is to give back. And if I could help them grow their business, and they were going to help, you know, basically fund my show by sponsoring it, of course, it's a win-win. So before you know it, then I signed on a sponsorship with them. And basically, I mean, I can't tell you how many athletes have come to me, especially in the beginning of all of that, before they had, you know, even 10 people in P4P. They were coming to me and saying, you know, I saw that you signed on with P4P. Can you tell me about it? Or they contacted me. Is this legitimate? Should I do this? I mean, this happens all the time. So, you know, people reach out to me. Is this something I should trust? Is it something I should do? And you know that, of course, Joe and JB are competitors themselves, and they get it from that aspect as well. And I got to know them, actually, from having them compete in my show the year before. And, of course, I've judged them both on stage, but I never really got to know them until they competed in my show. And you know, then all of a sudden it goes from being a competitor to a person to, again, your brothers and sisters in steel. And if we can help each other, absolutely, absolutely. You know, the more, I always say that, the more, it's a quote, I trademarked it, I have it on a bracelet, I gave them out at my show, at my business booth. You know, it says, as one, we're strong, and together we're unstoppable. That's really how I feel. And you really need to bring like-minded people together, because that's what makes us all successful. You know, we can't be one man on an island. There's more than one of us on this planet for a reason. So if we can support each other, build each other up, and help each other achieve our goals, our dreams, really there are no limits to what any of us can accomplish. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me to be able to, in some small way, hopefully help them launch this thing. So it's been fun. It's been fun to watch them grow.
Yes, and I'm just loving how they've been taking it to the level that they've taken it, and it's still like there's no ceiling. Like it's like, instead of saying it's a planet, no, it's a universe. We're stepping out into the galaxy, and if we touch as many stars as we can, then everything works great. And if we touch on the constellations, then it gets even better. And I'm just loving everything that happens about this, because it's like, okay, well, let's try that too. It's like it's unlimited. It's like if it was the Marvel Universe, it would be the unlimited edition.
Right. Right. It's just fun, too, to see them doing, you know, like this year they came on board and gave out the cash prizes to the pro and the amateur at my show for the posing presentation. And that was cool to see, because it wasn't the posing routine, which, of course, I give out through my own show. But it was literally the posing presentation. So any pro, any amateur, every division was eligible. It didn't limit it to a bodybuilder. And no one knew who that was going to be, of course, until they announced it. So, you know, they just come in and gave out $250 cash to a pro, $150 cash to an amateur. What amateur wins cash at a show? You don't, you know? So
right.
an opportunity totally surprised both of those people. It's just fun to see that happen, and for them to be able to feel that energy too, you know, and just know that we are literally all in this together, and your hard work was rewarded, because the amateur that won, for example, was in the overall, posed down, didn't win the overall, but he walked away with cash, you know. So it's like the best abs and best legs that I give out, you know, in my show for fun also. You don't have to be the champion.
I gotta laugh with best legs.
Yeah, you don't have to, but it's cool because you don't have to be the first place athlete to win that. You know what I mean? You
yes.
can, if you have the best abs in the show, amen, you're getting that thing. So it's just a fun way for, you know, more people to be rewarded for their hard work. And it's motivation, inspiration for all of those athletes to keep going, you know. And like I said, P4P coming and giving cash on the side in addition, I mean, who does that? You know, no one does that.
No. And I the reason I'm laughing, just so anybody that's listening, if you weren't at the show...
There's all kinds of fun things going on.
Yes. I anybody that can get to a live natural bodybuilding event, please do so. The energy alone is worth the price of admission. But the personalities range from so... It's so broad. But then there's times on stage where the unexpected happens and it's not expected. And... That the best laid guy, I mean, Matt,
he was funny. He was on the side of the stage. He looked at me. He's like, oh, Brenda, can I just go out there with my sweatshirt? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I didn't, you know, realize he was going to go out there and strip his pants down on the stage. And then, of course, everything came off eventually because he still had his posing suit on, don't get me wrong. But he was already dressed because the pros had been done for a really long time. But
yes.
The cool thing with that is, though, he was still in-house, which was excellent because he was, you
yes.
know, I look at it this way, like, he was still there supporting the show, all the amateur
yes.
athletes, you know what I mean? And that speaks volumes because he could have left by, you know, 6 p.m. because he was done already, but he didn't. He was still there at 8, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah, and I love that. And I really love that. And I do the same thing when I'm at a pro show competing. I'll stay and I'll watch as much of the amateur portion as I can, support the athletes, because the truth is, and I teach this in my workshop too, we are all in it for the same reason. You know, whether your card says amateur or pro is irrelevant at that point. We're really here to support each other on the mission. So,
yeah.
And I always try to remind people, never forget where you came from. Never, ever forget where you came from, you know, so to have more voices and more cheering is amazing. But yes, he was amazing. It was great. Actually, he has great energy. I was happy to.
Yes, he did. He earned those wheels, too. I mean,
that's
Matt, if you listen, great job, buddy. Wow. I mean, that was just phenomenal. And his attitude, you'd almost think
great.
He won.
He is an amazing competitor, and I really got to know him more, you know, from doing the show and the communication that I have with the athletes leading up to the show, that kind of stuff. And he's just got a great spirit. You know, when I say great spirit, he loves the sport. His passion, it shines through not just in his physique, but the energy that he brings to an event,
mm-hmm.
and that he shares
yes.
with other people, the support, the motivation that he gives. His sportsmanship is hands down some of the best I've ever seen. He's just a great competitor, and truly, if anybody gets a chance to see him live, bless you, because you'll love it. He's great to watch.
Yes.
So.
And you know, I really appreciate, I mean, like I said, people always ask me, why are you so amped? You haven't any sleep. You must just be tired, and that's where you get the energy from. I'm like, no. If you really understood what you're stepping into when you walk through those
mm-hmm.
doors, it's so much positive energy. I can't even express in words that just feeling of just freedom. And you say you're walking into an enclosed building, and you're telling me you're free, and I'm saying exactly, because you don't know what's in there, and I do. And just seeing some of the names, I mean, it's just amazing. And, you know, like, even with you running back and forth, you can still mm-hmm. smile. You can still, give people pictures and just stop. But it's constant motion. It's a constant flow. But it's a constant life. And I just love everything about that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I actually, when you said that, it brought me back to Worlds. I had the opportunity, which was amazing, to judge the WNBF World Championships last fall in Boston, and amateurs, pros, you know, the different divisions. We, you know, were chatting about that when we were done. It was a very long day, of course, of judging, because I was judging pro divisions and amateur divisions. I absolutely love to give back. It was the most energizing, exhausting that I've ever felt in my life. You know, it's just what you said, you walk in the doors and the energy is amazing. I mean, you've got the top athletes in the world on the stage, and the sportsmanship is incredible. The physiques are amazing. You know, it's just, it's amazing how much flows out of the athletes. I love natural bodybuilding because of that. When I say natural bodybuilding, I mean all of our divisions in the natural realm. So
yeah,
it's pretty amazing. And I'm always really grateful to see it on my stage when I promote as well, because again, my goal is to hopefully have every athlete have that experience, you know, and be able to take that away. And people like Matt, you know, they bring that, and that's part of it. You know, Ryan, that won the Pro Men's Bodybuilding, same thing. It's been amazing to watch him grow as an athlete. I've judged him many times as an amateur, watched him win his pro card, you know, last season, or last spring, I should say, and then have him come back as a pro this year as a pro and then win was, you know, that's like a tear moment. You know, it's just to see athletes excel and do that over time. Noelle, same thing with the pro figure this year. She won her pro card last spring, came back as a pro, won the pro figure. It's just amazing what's happening and how much people are growing and how much they're giving back to the sport.
Yes, and the transformations. I mean, and you know, some of them are so much fuller, and they're 5-6 pounds lighter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. You know, it's like you hear it, and it's like it takes a minute to register. Like, you've developed your muscle to be fuller and leaner, and you're coming in lighter, and you look bigger.
And I'm laughing with you because I've done it. I've done it myself, actually. And I remember, you know, every time that happened, and it might happen again this time. We'll see what happens, but I'm prepared mentally. I remember as it was happening, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm getting small. This is horrible. You know, like I'm shrinking, and I'm going to, you know, look like a stick when I get on stage. And but the measurements were telling me, like, my lean mass was still going up, even though I was lighter and I was leaner. You know, my head could not wrap around the fact that I could have, you know, 4 pounds more muscle that season and then be less on the scale than I was.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just, but it, yeah, and it's the muscle maturity, the density is amazing. Getting old is not a bad thing.
No. I think,
you know?
Rico called it the fountain of youth. And I tell you,
yeah.
When I saw Martin Daniels down in Kansas City, oh my God.
Incredible. Yeah, he's incredible.
And he said he was just over 200 pounds. And I'm thinking, God, you must be crazy. He's just tipping over 200 pounds, and he looks at least 240, 250.
Yeah, he is incredible.
Cool.
Incredible.
Yes. Just a phenomenal physique where you just have to, you know, even in a warm-up suit, he looks massive. But I felt so bad for the person he was standing next to, because I said, you know, my God, it's like you see it in the audience, and it's like, you know, regardless what they bring to the stage, we never look in our own minds how we actually look in reality.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Him standing there getting his best pose, my goodness. I mean, that's just
right.
Speechless. I had to keep that picture. I was like, I don't care what happens to my... I'm going to store it and make sure it's all good, because I don't ever want to lose that picture, because I just remember the look on that guy's face in the picture. I'll never share it, because I said it wouldn't be fair to the competitor. But it was just that moment where the guy was like, what the hell did I just... I mean, it was just classic.
Yeah, Martin's amazing. I mean, the guy just, you know, I don't even know if we always say this, like, how can you get better when you're that good? But he does. Every time he steps on stage, it's just incredible.
Yes. Well, Brenda, thanks so much. I mean, the time just flew by. I'm really just blown away. Thank you so much for all you've shared and all your knowledge and all your passion that you give back. You've been a gem ever since I've known you. God bless you. You got anything to say in the last 20 seconds?
Just thank you for having me on, and, you know, just being part of the mission. It's been great since I met you. You're a great person, and you give back so much yourself. And I think this is a great platform to open it up for athletes to really get to know each other a little bit more, where sometimes we might not have the opportunity to chat with each other. So I think this is a great way also for us to connect, and I thank you for that, actually, so that we can all, again, support each other on the mission.
And thank you, P4P, as always. God bless you guys. You had a vision, and that vision is coming to life. Thank you so much. Kaylin Patterson, Brenda Ray, P4P Real Talk. Thanks, Brenda.
Good night.
Good night.